This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Macca and Tass. I hope you're enjoying the morning and also being able to get out, do a little bit of shopping. Hopefully you can... you know, have a bite of lunch. Tass and I and Paul and our partners, we're coming into the city tomorrow night.
I'm looking forward to that, Macca.
To have dinner, and we're really looking forward to that. The last time Tass and I went out for dinner was...
a long time ago, Macca.
Was it June? It was actually the week before my birthday, wasn't it?
Where did we go?
We went to our favourite steak restaurant.
Oh, of course it was,
in Port
yes.
Melbourne. Yeah.
Yes, middle of winter. I always like those.
Yeah. Anyway... it's my pleasure to welcome to the show David Davis. David is the Upper House Liberal Member for Southern Metropolitan, also Shadow Minister for Equality and for Federal State Relations.
And a whole lot of other things.
A whole lot of other.
David's a very busy man.
Last count it was six portfolios, David. Is it still six?
I stopped counting.
You stopped counting. You've got too many. You've got too many. So how are you today?
I'm actually very well. I'm very well indeed. And it's, we've got the last sitting week coming up this week and lots of busy items. And amongst that, we've still got still the remnants of this crisis that we've had with COVID and, you know, businesses and so forth are very much what's focusing me.
David, we wanted to ask you about your reflections of the state budget. And just in sort of introducing that topic, we interviewed Paul Guerra from the Victorian Chamber of Commerce last week. And we asked him what his score out of 10 was for the budget. And he gave the Victorian state budget an 8 out of 10. And, of course, we also interviewed Emma King from VCOS and we asked her what her score was. And she gave the state budget a 10 out of 10. So give us your reflections and what is your score out of 10?
Look, it's a budget that obviously needed to have significant expenditure to lift the economy. The economy has been flattened, and particularly in Victoria after the second wave, that virus got out of hotel quarantine and we had the very weak contact tracing system. And that has clearly caused massive damage to small business in particular and a loss of a lot of jobs. So we agree there had to be a significant stimulus. We agree that spending had to be there in infrastructure. There's a few things we quibble about, the scale of the spending, and, you know, we see the state is going to have a very, very significant debt going up ultimately in the next 4 years to $155 billion. That will be far and away ahead of any other state, and we note that the debt over that period that's incurred is greater than the new debt that's incurred by all the other states combined, all the other states and territories, in fact, combined. So that just gives you some idea of the scale of what we're talking about. Prior to the budget, I was out talking about smaller, manageable projects that could be brought forward. You know, a lot of the missing connections in our rail system, extensions of the rail system, small tram connections, these sorts of practical projects that could get jobs on the ground quickly. One of our criticisms of the government is that whilst there's a lot of infrastructure, including in my own portfolio, transport infrastructure spending, some of which is good long run. A lot of it will take a long while to get off the ground, and it's, you know, it's really now that we need the push. We need the shovel ready projects.
So your score? What's your score then, David?
Look, I'd struggle to give it a six. I've got to be blunt. I think the you know, we agree with more spending. We don't think they landed the targets quite right on a lot of this. And you know, there's a series of questions that we have about a number of these projects. You know, we need the business cases on some of the large projects, and we need projects focused on kicking the stuff forward now, not, you know, not in 3 years or 4 years when some of these projects will take to kick actually off the ground. That's our criticism of it.
What about reintroducing the train to Mildura?
Look, I saw that that discussion. Look, we actually had a proposal to leverage off standard gauge improvements on the Murray Basin Rail project at the last election, and would have taken the line not to Mildura but three more stops out, which would have been an important step, we think. Now, the state government and city listeners may not be familiar with this, but there's a very important project called the Murray Basin Rail Project. It was designed to upgrade and standardise lines up in the northwest of the state, principally to bring back grain and other agricultural products off the roads onto the rail. But the government botched this comprehensively, and the auditors now talked about this. They did two-fifths of the project. The speeds are slower, the axle weights are lower. They recycled old rails welded together from 1913. It's the worst managed project in living memory, and it's just a crying shame. But it's going to have to be fixed. They're going to have to relay some of the track that they laid and fix that, and they're going to have to complete the project. That will open the way for opportunities to take passenger services further north. So I think if you go north of Maryborough, we had a plan to do, three more significant stops north. That's not Mildura, but it's a significant step in that direction.
Well, I reckon you and Fiona Patton and Ellie Cupper, who's now, as you know, the deputy leader of the Reason Party, member for Mildura.
Well, I suppose you are the deputy if there's only two.
Well, just quietly. You don't have that many in the parliament, David, you know, compared to the government.
No. But having said that, good luck to her. There's, lots of need for support in Mildura. We're very conscious of the northwest of the state. My colleague Wendy Lovell, who represents that area, is very, very firm advocate for Mildura.
Yeah. Now, it won't surprise you, David. We're going to. I want to ask you again, and we asked you back in August about conversion practices, and both yourself and Michael O'Brien have said you would support a bill that ban conversion practices. I want to know, and our community wants to know, has your party formed a position on this bill, and are you going to support it?
So the bill came in, this is the conversion bill, came into the parliament at the end of the last sitting week. We will meet this week, Monday, Tuesday, to discuss it and many other things. So we've not formed a formal position. I have looked at the bill. I have been briefed on the bill. As you know, and as I've said on this show before, I personally am very opposed to the conversion practices. The need is there to balance rights and liberties on the other side, religious practice, but at the same time to provide safeguards in each direction. We will be making our decisions, as I say, early next week, and the bill, as I understand it, will be debated in the lower house this week. It'll ultimately come into the upper house, you know, sometime in the new year, I suspect. That's kind of where we are at the moment. We haven't formed a formal view, but I can, you know, I can be quite clear. We don't like those conversion practices, particularly the historical ones that I think people are aware of. A number of the survivors have certainly indicated their views to me and to others. You know, I would say if members of your audience want to make their views known to, you know, MPs, they should feel free to do so in the next few days. We do want to hear from the broadest spread of the possible, you know, that's possible across the community. And, you know, we'd certainly welcome people's feedback, positive, negative, and you know, constructive improvements too.
Because, David, you've said, you know, you said to us at the end of August that any of these practices must be based on science.
Correct.
Now, how you balance a question of science, which is fact, with a question potentially of faith, I'm a bit challenged by that. Science is fact.
Well,
David. Science is fact. Faith is a belief. And if you believe that someone should have the ability to change me on the basis of their beliefs, not based on the science, then I'm sorry, I cannot agree with you. And if your party doesn't support this legislation, the message you're sending is that you don't believe in the science and that my human rights and the human rights of my community are not as important as some votes in some marginal seats. That's as simple as it is, mate. It's as simple as it is. So I expect you and your leader to stick to what you said on this station. Stick with the science. Don't go with voodoo.
Look, you know, as I say, we will be looking closely at this in the next few days, and obviously, you know, this is a party room decision, as you would well expect. You know, there are issues in aspects of the bill with children and how that operates and the safeguards around all of those issues. But having said that, I completely understand your viewpoint and completely understand the point that these sorts of practices do need to have a proper scientific basis if they're ever to occur, and they don't, as far as I can, in my examination of medical literature, there doesn't seem to be any support for these practices.
There isn't.
I've said that very clearly publicly.
And I've heard that. But we are watching, David, and we are watching every member in the upper house. We are watching them. Not just you, your national colleagues and the crossbenchers. We're watching. And how you vote on this, believe me, will be a defining base on how your community, on how our community regards how you represent us. Now, I know some people think that's harsh words. This is about my community. This is about our rights. It's not about voodoo. It's not about faith. It's about the facts and the science. So please, don't let us down.
Macca, I'm very happy to hear from anyone who wants to email us in the next few days. We're very happy to hear viewpoints, and I think that is important. Yeah. I also think that it's we will make our decision formally next week.
So that's a party decision, David. What's your decision?
What's your
assessment of the bill?
I think my views are well known, and my views are formally on the record in the Parliament at earlier points. I have spoken about conversion therapy, you know, as I say, publicly in the Parliament.
Sorry, don't call it therapy. Don't call it therapy, David. It's a practice. It's not therapy.
So-called therapy, so-called. And my point very clearly at that time was to make it clear that the medical evidence was that this was not supported in any way.
We look forward to your support of the bill, David.
I can't be clearer about my view than that.
But we look very forward to your support of the bill once it comes to the House.
As I say, it won't be in our chamber till next year, but this year, this next sitting week, it will be in the lower house.
Yeah. David, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning, but also all year, and to yourself and to your leader for making yourself available. It's great to hear, what you think. And as the Shadow Minister for Equality, you know, we'll be interested, and we'd be happy to talk to you, you know, again next Saturday in terms of a Shadow Minister, what your recommendations might be, if there are any changes that you suggest. We'd be happy to have another chat to you next week. So pencil that in if you'd like. We'd love to have another chat to you about it.
We will certainly be talking over the next year. I look forward to it. Yeah. And, look, it's going to be a very interesting few weeks this next period. Yeah. We're obviously hoping that the government, you know, removes some of the, what I think now are excessive restrictions on masks in the coming days. We're hoping that the government will actually take steps to open up some of the businesses. We've got, you know, in a number of key areas, we've got tougher restrictions still in place than other states. And, you know, my other portfolio, Creative Industries and Arts, there's been a terrible impact on that sector. And, you know, we've still got tougher restrictions on theatres.
David, I'm sorry to have to cut you off, but we're going to have to cross off to the news very shortly.
And I think you're being attacked by a dog.
If we don't speak with you between now and the new year, best wishes for the season. And as we said, we do look forward to your support for the
thanks
bill.
Thanks again.
Taz, thanks, Macca. Bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.